Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholder in His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Now, more this week on God's making place in our lives, the wilderness. Now, last week we talked a little bit about the wilderness being a place of God's physical creation, but applied most of our time describing the wilderness and paralleling the lifeless, stark, barren landscape into the spiritual realm. But as we saw, the wilderness is also a part of God's divine arrangement as applied to our Christian experience. But many churches and some critics can relegate these times of dryness and distress and definite difficulties in our Christian experience to Satan or disobedience. The human logic can easily arrange scriptures to suit itself. However, Paul applies them as wilderness experience of Israel to the Christian experience of ours today. You know, the entire setting of these things in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, which happened, that's in quotations, is in the wilderness. See 1 Corinthians 1 through 10, or 10, 1 through 10. Now, two significant verses to follow, 12 and 13, relate to the success of Christian living to our understanding, our learning, and our applying the lessons of this making place in the wilderness. In the first of these two verses, Paul gives warning to the one who is already standing. At verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. He would have to be standing in order to fall, right? And so the term thinks he stands is not referring to the person who is deceived and thinking that he is standing. Oh no, he is actually standing. To those who are standing in a victorious Christian life, Paul gives warning to pay attention to what he is saying. Many Christians and some believers I know learn nothing from the experience of Israel in the wilderness. But Paul plainly indicates that without the learning, there is the possibility, if not the certainty, of falling from victorious Christian living. Understanding and learning from the failures of others bring us into an awareness needed for the success we desire in our Christian life. Let me say that again. Understanding and learning from the failures of others bring us into an awareness needed for the success we desire in our Christian life. Jesus also warned us of unawareness in Luke 21:34. Jesus says, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with excess or consume, and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. Now, Paul echoes this warning also, almost similar. While they are saying, peace, peace, then destruction will come upon you suddenly, like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. That word suddenly is from the same Greek word used in Luke 21:34 and is translated unaware. The second significant verse immediately following Paul's reference to Israel's wilderness experience is known by memory by most in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. And most believers know this by heart. Paul writes, no temptation has ever taken you by such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able. Amen? What a wonderful promise. But with temptation, its coming will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. In its context, this verse relates and applies to our Christian walk today. Many Christians and some believers I know have failed to recognize and therefore do not understand the lessons and the purposes of the wilderness. As a result, some of these Christians and believers, if not most of them, continually fail in their victorious Christian living. So now God says, I know all about you. And make no mistake, my friend, God does know all about us. I know all about your sin, and I know all about your weaknesses. I know that it is almost impossible for you to overcome them. But I'm not asking, now listen, I am not asking you to do anything before you abide in Christ. Rather, I am asking you to see and confess the corruption that is in yourself and the corruption that I already see in you. And I'm asking you to abide in Christ. Wow. Asking you to abide in Christ solely on the basis of Him, solely on the basis of what I did, what Jesus did on the cross. But no, people give up on such a suggestion. I hope that's not you, my friend, because they think, you know, this means this will give a person to have license to sin. Well, that is not true. God, how much space does God have to devote to such nonsense before we see the truth about this? All we need to do is read Romans 6 through 8. But if we are concerned about our behavior and sin, the fact is that the only way in which we are going to overcome sin and begin to obey God from the heart is when we first abide in Christ by faith. And yes, I will say it again, regardless of our sin. In other words, we are never to try to make ourselves worthy in order to enter into Christ. Rather, if we first enter into Christ solely by faith in Christ, there will be victorious, you know, Christian living, and we will have victory over sin because we are abiding in Him by faith. And we will see not that we are made worthy, but that Jesus was worthy, and His finished work is eternally in place. When Israel ended their 40-year wandering in the wilderness, they were once again brought back by God to the land. This time they did enter by faith. But no, it was the same land, the same land populated by the same giants. And that I'm sure Israel was still unable to conquer them at all. But what changed? Israel now believed God. Rather than figure themselves into the equation of whether they could live in the land, they put themselves aside. Wow, they put themselves aside and put their faith in God. My friend, did you know that God does math? Oh, yes, He does. Here's an equation that you always need to remember. 1 plus 0 equals 1. Let me say that again. 1 plus 0 equals 1. Now, the number 1 all throughout the Bible means unity, unity with God. So, unity plus 0 equals unity. Now don't think you're the 1. Oh, no. Now, we are the 0. We're always the 0. And the better 0, the better nothing we can be, the greater unity we will have with God. Did you get that, my friend? The wilderness, if we yield to God, will make us able to enter into His rest. But it will do that by reducing us to nothing, reducing us down to that 0. Then we will enter into His rest on the basis of Christ and Christ alone. Thus, rather than think we must overcome our failures before we enter the rest, we need to see that we must enter His rest despite of them. For to enter His rest by faith in Christ, despite everything about ourselves, is exactly the place that God wants to bring us to. Wow, what a thought. Have we realized that anything else is unbelief? To neglect to enter the rest for any reason is unbelief. There is no valid reason to neglect enter into God's rest. The victory of Christ is finished. It is in place. God says, enter into the fullness of Christ by faith. The fact is, this is the only truth and the only basis that God will accept. Wow, this is the only truth and the only basis that God will accept. Indeed, we are warned against neglecting to do so and against trying to enter in any other way. We that believe do enter into His rest. Amen? That is the statement of truth. Next week, we'll begin to look at another area of the applications of our faith as we look at living by faith. After all, only the just or those who have been justified by faith live by faith. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory. trusting and hoping that this teaching is changing your life and the Holy Spirit is able to speak to you and you are conformed more into the character and the image of God's dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.